Okay, so welcome all to my introduction to social network analysis with Perl. My name is Darko Obradovic from Kaiserslautern, pretty close to Frankfurt. In the last years, I've been researching at a research institute and applying lots of social network analysis to different problems. And so by the time I started to bring some of this code I used and created to CPAM. And today I just want to introduce you what the module is, when you could use it, what the benefits are, and what applications or what problems can be solved with it. So in general, social network analysis includes social networks, which in the official definition is not Facebook directly, but this is a social networking service. So a social network basically is any construct of human beings and their relations. These relations could be anything like know each other, collaborates, talks with each other. It's pretty open in the design of your network. And we are now interested in analysis of such networks. So the typical applications is to deal with traditionally with people and their relations, but by the time, of course, in recent years with the growing internet and so on, these algorithms and methods were also brought to the web graph because it's also heavily interlinked. And you can also apply this to documents in general, which are interlinked with each other. There is wide usage in biological networks with protein interaction and so on, which also form very large complex networks. And a little bit more special application is so-called two-mode networks, where you have different things related with each other. Users and products they are interested in, or movies they have been renting on an online website. And this is also a very prominent use case this day, despite something a little bit more special than a general network. So the background of this is that network analysis is a very active research discipline in science, which has its foundations in graph theory, which most people should know from basic math studies. But it has a very different focus. I will explain this a little bit later. There exist lots and lots of books and research papers on this topic, with, I think, each year around 3,000, 4,000 publications in the wider area. Also, many mathematicians, physicists have become very active here, and it's kind of difficult to keep track of all this. And in the same run, of course, there are so many ideas, concepts, and methods to analyze networks that you have to be really picky to find something that is suitable to your problem. So in general, very typical goals are to identify some special user in the network, which is either very prominent or very central, which has good connections or many connections, or is on important paths, or whatever. There are many criteria you can analyze for. Another typical task is to find groups of related or heavily related nodes in the network which form groups on their own, which have relations with other groups. Then there is also, especially in recommender systems, you try also to predict links which might be established in the future based on the current network, for example, when recommending new contacts in your social networking service. This is also very common. And on a more abstract level, usually the idea is to understand such a complex network structure. So if it's like 20 nodes connected with each other, you can still have an understanding by looking at it. But as soon as we have hundreds of thousands of connections among thousands of nodes, you definitely need some algorithmic approach to it. And visualization is then also a rather challenging task, but there are also a lot of solutions, but this is not the topic of today's talk. So when you have some form of network you are interested to look into, there exist tools, quite good tools also, where you have the usual GUI, and you can start entering nodes, watch it, and calculate some metrics, see a table with all the nodes and the metrics, which works really fine as long as it's a relatively small network. On the other side of the scale, you have, for example, what Google does. They have a search engine with an index of, I don't know how many billion websites which are interlinked with each other. And that's a completely different approach where they have very special databases, graph databases. Just a few to mention are Big Data, Neo4j, which offer very special support here on a persistent level with special query languages and so on. And then there is something in between for programming languages where you have the simple package to establish such a data structure, analyze it, program algorithms, and so on, which is the focus of today. So in Perl, they already exist on CPAN the graph module, which is quite nice, I think, because it offers you all the basic things about graph theory you are looking for. But then again, graph theory is not what social network analysis really does, because it's not about transposing matrices and having some eigenvalues and so on. It's more focusing on large networks and where GraphPM comes relatively fast to its limits. There exists also BoostGraph, which is an interface to a C++ library, which is intended to be very, very fast, as long as you can compile it. I couldn't, but probably just as a setting of a Linux machine. The problem with that is that you have to use the algorithms which are in Boost and nothing else, which is definitely not what I wanted. So it depends on the algorithms which are there and what you want to do and how to get your data in. So my goal was then to create a very sophisticated, quite simple, but still efficient framework to do all that. So it still creates its whole structures in memory, which just means it's not for big data, but for middle-sized data. I will give you some dimensions later. It is very flexible with the algorithms you can program for it and just plug in. And I also tried to put some state-of-the-art algorithms for common problems in there, but at the moment this is just containing what I used to need. So if something else arises, maybe drop me a mail or use the plugin system if you're interested. You can just experiment a little bit. And all this is very nicely programmable from within Perl. So keeping it simple, there's just base classes for network, node, and edge, which can be used in their very native way. And then there exists in the namespace an area for filters, which means you can read and write certain file formats into your data structure and out. A selection of algorithms to use for calculations on the network, and also some generator space for random networks, which is something a little bit more special. So a really simple synopsis just means you create your network, you can load something into it with quite verbose methods, and then iterate on nodes, edges, attributes, and so on. So here we just load something, calculate the page rank values for each node, and print them out, which might be a very long list, of course, for large networks. Every of these base classes is extendable, so whatever you put in your lib in the plugin namespace of these structures and all the methods that the plugin exports will get imported by the classes and are then available through the normal objects you create. And now showing some examples of things I did with this. So one of my main tasks was analyzing blocks on the internet, how they are connected with each other, what they are doing, who's important, who is not, who forms communities about which topics, and so on. And so these are just some representative data of the collection I have. So we typically have here a couple of 100,000 objects, which is either nodes or edges. And for a normal machine, this also scales to a few millions of objects. Of course, with a larger machine, you can extend it a little bit. But as soon as we are talking about hundreds of millions of objects, you pretty much want to switch over to some graph database instead, because also persistency will become a problem with loading and saving. So on these data sets, I will just present two typical things you a researcher might be interested in or an analyst for a business scenario. Before that, I will use some abstraction because of so many objects. So let's just assume we have a small graph on the top here. So if you think in terms of groups of in this graph, you can just merge them to three groups. And then the typical adjacency metrics from a graph theory, which is on the bottom left, can also be divided into sectors of these groups as soon as you have rearranged them according to the group, so that all group members are next to each other in the adjacency matrix. And at that point, you will have the number of edges inside such a group, which then, if you look a little bit more abstract from the top at such a matrix, which will give you fields of dark or light color depending of how many edges of the potential edges do really exist. And so in this example, you can see pretty well that inside the groups, we have pretty dark color, which means they are interconnected quite well. And between the groups, it's more light gray or completely white between A and C, for example. And so I will just use this more abstract visualization for the examples. So one of the very common things you want to have in a network is community identification. So that means to find the groups which are tightly working together or know each other quite well and separate them from each other. And for imagining, for example, all Perl users that are running around at conferences, you would probably expect something like finding in the large network, which is relatively sparsely connected, to find some cohesive groups. At the bottom, you would probably find a group of German Perl users, which meet at German Perl workshops. And in there, you would also find members of specific cities. And of course, inside the complete European user base, we would also expect to find for larger Perlmongers group also clusters or communities. And there is one really nice algorithm that was published 4 years ago, which was quite revolutionary. I will not go too much into the details, but usually identifying communities in a network is an NP-hard problem, which means for computer science that on anything larger, you simply cannot apply it. And there has been a pretty long race for good approaches, heuristic algorithms in the last one or two decades. And as I said, finally, there was one algorithm that was had quite impressive results, both in quality of the communities identified and especially in runtime efficiency. So this is a comparison to other top algorithms where you see that it's at least an order of magnitude better. And this is also what I implemented for the package. And here's an example of the Portuguese block space, which was separated relatively quickly in quite good communities, some larger, some smaller. And if you look into the blocks, you will find the different reasons for being a community, which is either blocks that deal with internet and social media and mobile scenario. On the other hand, blocks that write about politics, the economic situation and state of society. Smaller groups which deal with recipes and cooking and so on. So it was very amazing to have such good results in very fast time. Then another typical problem is what I mentioned initially, is finding important nodes, authoritative nodes, central nodes, which means that you are looking for a structure in your network which is like centralized. You have a core group of important people and a wider periphery of less important people. So in our example of the Perl users, we would probably expect to have very well connected people like Larry Damien and so on in the center, in the core, and other people like me or others in the more in the periphery. So identifying this is also NP-hard because there are so many different possible sortings for the adjacency matrix, which you all would have to check for an optimal result. Again, it's about approximations, heuristics, and so on. And there also exist quite fast algorithms doing something like this, which ends up for the very same network with a different grouping in a view like this, where you have at the top left the nodes which are very central in the core, and many, many nodes which are more peripheral because they don't have so many connections to important nodes in this network. Okay, so still have enough time. Some demo and comparison. So using this detection of core and periphery in a network, I've used the English blocks for an example, which means we have roughly 500K objects in there. And so loading the structure into memory and building it took like 17 seconds, and then performing the analysis of core nodes and peripheral nodes was a matter of just 3 seconds once it's there. I implemented the very same algorithm with a standard graph PM interface, which of course also took only 17 seconds to load, but it already took nearly 2 minutes to execute, simply because it's not really designed for traversal algorithms. So concerning memory usage, my package is also like needing 33% memory less, so you can fit a little bit larger networks into memory to analyze them. There is the possibility to use reference nodes in GraphPM, which speeds up the whole thing a lot, if you see. It also reaches less than 5 seconds execution time for the algorithm. It's a little bit more costly to build the structure, and the bad thing is that you don't really have a node class in GraphPM, which means you always have to use the graph object, and all the algorithms which are there will not give you reference ref vertex nodes in GraphPM's wording, and all the filters which load you different files also won't create such a network. So in the basic scenario, you're always stuck with the slow version, which was my reason to write something new. Okay, so this is also then, with the ref vertex nodes, it's also quite okay, I would say. Just minimally slower, but simply not so usable, in my opinion. Okay, depending on time, it's now almost 20 minutes. Could maybe just quickly show using all that from a shell. You can also experiment with things. So for example, loading the Portuguese data set, which was like the 17 second. No, no, it was the English one with the 17 seconds. This is a little bit faster. And running the identifying community algorithm, which doesn't work right now. Okay, so maybe first of all, we'll see if there are some questions. And then if you want to see something else later, we could probably talk in person during coffee break or tomorrow. So thank you very much for the attention, and so if you have questions, please ask.